difference.
Okay.
Which,
okay, wait.
I've had the...
Okay, I'm sorry, your name is?
Peter Huguenier.
And your name is?
Jack Wittenbrink.
Okay.
Huguenier? Huguenier, yes. And I've been visiting New Orleans since I was 19. I've lived here since 84.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was 19 in 1966.
Uh-huh. You don't look that age. You really look a lot younger.
It's because the lights are low.
Excellent answer. So you were talking about the media?
Yeah, this is since she works for the media.
Right.
I've had this, what'll be a kind of one-sided conversation with numerous people. The national media companies, which brought us the Iraq War and George Bush and all those people, used to be your company's owned by a family, you say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was. And all kinds of media, they even had, the FCC had rules. They had to be independently owned. That has all changed. It's all concentrated. There are worldwide corporations that do business with dictatorships like China.
Rupert Murdoch.
Saudi.
Owning all these huge media
companies. Well, I mean, all these companies. Disney, they operate in these dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
The oil companies do the same thing. Mm-hmm. That money controls the media, and that's... I mean, you can get...
That's why you do hear certain things and don't hear other things.
Yeah, and the lack of a family... A local ownership component, which used to be required, and not by newspapers, but with
TV,
broadcast TV, etc., radio.
Radio.
So I'm up in, there's a radio station here, WWL AM, which was originally owned by Loyola University in the 20s when the physicists invented radio, just as KDK, same deal, was owned by the university. Okay, and that was, for many years, owned by the university.
Actually, it was Westinghouse that owned.
Was it? Yeah.
Katie,
But it was original. But the university owned it in trust. It's a Catholic university, Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
But it was operated as a normal business, and that was sold, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago to a private company. But now it's owned by Intercom, but a national company. But they, whenever there's been an evacuation, they would go immediately to public service, 24 hours, whatever it took. And it's all the regular Rush Limbaugh, whatever they had on their talk radio was gone. It was people call-ins, parish officials, and on this evacuation we do a number of times a year here. And, you know, it's, where can you get gas? Can you get around this traffic jam? And all people calling in on their cell phones. It's a terrific way to report, because you have millions of them. So this
is like an instant signpost where anybody could post.
Right, and this year I left 7:30 Sunday before the storm. I was helping friends that didn't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
I had a car. I knew I was leaving to save my car.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate, he decided he was going to stay, but he changed his mind as the storm.
Man.
Friday afternoon, I took a friend of mine to the airport to go work in Newport, Rhode Island. The storm was headed right for Mobile, Alabama. We were relaxed. Friday night, when a friend of mine who's a chef got off work, he told me at 11:30 at night, it's coming right for us. And that's how fast it changed. I left Sunday. I was helping people that had cars, didn't have cars, that needed help collecting family and things. And I knew I was leaving. I left 7:30 Sunday night. They had not talked of any evacuation after like 4.
Wow.
When I left, there was no one on the highway until I got north of Hammond.
Wow.
Not one police car, nothing. And I drove right to Missouri, where I had worked previously with other people. And many, up there I saw many people from New Orleans. And this is a normal occurrence with dogs.
There are several dogs that are part of this tribe here, and they... we're having an issue in the background.
Their tails are wagging, though.
Tails are wagging. Nobody's head's bitten off.
So, this company that owns the station, all of their employees, they're from here. They're locals. It's their houses, etc. And this is how they always react when there's an emergency. Okay, the hurricane came, and I'm listening live because it's on. It's clear. It's 38 states you can get this at nighttime.
Wow.
WWL 870 AM, you can get it in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening to it on the way up as I drive, and at the point when the levees break, I'm listening to it. So I guess that was Monday night.
Yeah.
And the people are calling in saying, at all times, they were calling in saying, the water's coming up, people on their cell phones, because that was, they were still working. And, you know, they need to be rescued, and the rescue agencies, they would monitor this radio station to find out where people were. As the levees really wasn't clear what was going on, the people would call in, and at one point the announcer said, oh, you're in my neighborhood, that means my house is being flooded too.
Holy cow.
And they're in their boarded up studios with all the windows blown out next to the Superdome. At that time, and you could still call in, because I called in from Missouri, and then later they moved to Clear Channel's studios in Baton Rouge, and both employees from both companies, Clear Channel and Intercom, and they're still using the 870 frequency because it's the strongest one.
Yeah.
But they're still working out of Baton Rouge, and you can call. At first it was hard to call in, but you could always call in, and I would tell people from New Orleans that might have been George Bush voters, etc., that believe all the stuff CNN and Time Warner, or whatever, what's the other company? Disney and Fox, Murdoch put out as far as what's happening, and they all knew this is not the New Orleans.
What were the things that you were seeing on Fox News? And
okay, I didn't really watch it a lot because...
What's the perception?
The perception was that it was criminals that were here in the city.
Uh-huh.
And, for instance, a friend of mine who owns a house in New Orleans East, I found out later, I talked to him, experienced a lot of things they talked about, and it was most people were helping each other out. And when you got listen to WWL radio, it's people calling in, helping each other out. Can you check on this guy here? I need help. And as days went on, can you check on the old lady? And this, it was always people helping each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the reality they showed was that there were criminals. Because that's what sells their
right.
advertising space.
Wow.
And they would then they tried to get a racial component into it. That there were. My friend he was at the convention center, so that story, and he also talked to Geraldo Rivera, et cetera. But he tried to leave, and then his wife, who works for the VA Medical Center as a counselor, they own a house in New Orleans East, and part of their extended family was there. The water came up, they had to go up in the attic when the levees broke, and they started to go down. They went out and got spare tires out of the truck of the stepson, strapped the babies to those spare tires and walked, I don't know what the time frame was, a day or whatever, how long he was in the to a higher ground, that'd be Chef Mentor Highway. And then he hot-wired a big cement truck to try to get to places, and that stalled out. And then they broke into a hotel, stayed there for 2.5 days. And this was all survival.
Yeah,
these
right.
were not criminals.
No.
Right.
And then they hot-wired a Bell South truck. And people were doing this all over because there was no rescue whatsoever. This is a combat veteran from Vietnam. He heard automatic weapons fire. You heard stories of people shooting at helicopters. I didn't really know if he could identify if that's exactly what was going on or not. But he did hear this, and he would know. And he got to the convention center. And he was there for days. There was no help. Nobody came. And you could always, in listening to WWL AM, you could always drive into the city. Because people from here knew how to do that. You drive along the levee, the Mississippi River levee, which is high. You drive along there, and you could always drive in. And then from the West Bank, you could always drive across the Crescent City Connection. So why this whole disaster? They could have immediately had thousands of National Guard military buses from every military base within 10 hours driving time, and I'm sure there are thousands of them from Florida and Texas, to get people out of town without any helicopters. The helicopters could be used for the flooded areas. I'm just saying, these are things that, in listening to the local station, they had all the information on there of what really was going on. how to help, and the people were in fact helping. They didn't spend any time on this other stuff. And the people who are from here that may have listened to CNN in their air-conditioned apartments, they are talking and realizing that's not us. That's not the way it is in New Orleans. And my friend who was there at the convention center, again, he knows the neighborhood there. He would go out and bring back food and water and to share with people at the convention center. Again, he was a combat veteran, and he knew the neighborhood because worked in that area and of the city.
Uh-huh.
And the media always showed this as criminal element. That's what they showed, when in fact it's people helping each other survive. And he and his family are all black, and but they're obviously not poor people.
Uh-huh.
They always, I think, the national media, the impression everyone got, there was also a racial thing to it.
Oh, we definitely got that idea.
Yeah, and in fact, it was, you know.
But there's
nothing that was not what was going on. Maybe at the national level, I don't know, but locally, that's not what happens here. People help each other out. This town is actually very. It's always been very mixed.
Well, the impression that was brought here was the folks who were not able to get out economically were the poor black folks.
Oh yeah, I have a friend of mine. She's 90 some years old, probably 95 right now. She's got $1 million condo in St. Charles. She didn't want to leave. A lot of older people don't. She or the rest of her family left. She stayed in a hotel downtown with her full-time caretaker. I mean, she's perfectly fine. She has the money to have a caretaker.
Yeah, right.
She stayed, but I'm sure she left. I've talked to her personally. I've talked to her relatives.
Mm-hmm.
She's a friend of mine's grandmother. And so, yeah, people with money did get out whenever they wanted. So I had a car. I got out.
Yeah, right.
There was no way to get out for people without cars.
Without cars, exactly.
And money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't racial.
Well, the impression that I got up north was that everybody who could get out, but that there were no accommodations made for people who did not have these means.
Which was the vast majority of the city.
Okay. Is that
a whole lot of people. You don't need a car in the city.
Yeah,
for many
right.
years, I have not had a car here. It's like New York.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a compact, a lot of the...
It's a pain to have a car in the city.
Yeah, I lived in the quarter for years, and many times when a car would break, I didn't need one.
Yeah, right.
Everything was within walking, bicycle distance.
Mm-hmm.
As far as...
Well,
yeah. The quarter is like a tiny Manhattan. There are people who choose never to leave, and they can live there.
I don't mean I lived in the quarter, but this is the Marigny. Uptown, the streetcar line, you could ride your bike. It's flat.
Yeah, right.
All the hospitals, government offices, the cultural, everything is in this area. My joke was the only thing I needed a car for was to go to Walmart.
Right.
But in fact, there's a bus that takes you to all the stores,
right.
You know, on the West Bank. I mean, that was the most convenient.
Definitely.
You buy a $5 pass, you can go in and out all the way.
What was your experience through this whole thing?
Let me just finish on this story.
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Because my main thing was to cover the media difference.
Yeah.
And the people who work for that station, they know that. The people up in Missouri from New Orleans, I was in Branson, Missouri, where I'd been before, and I knew people helped each other out, and the churches would have a dinner every night, and I would go to them. There were restaurants that had free food, but I went to the churches because it was homemade, and you got to talk to other people from home.
Uh-huh.
But they would realize they're staying in hotels looking at the CNN and that type of infotainment or whatever they call it, and realize that is not, some of them didn't know about 870 AM and the reporting done there, and I would tell them, and then I also called, and they suggested I'm sure I didn't have to call them, but they then put it online at some point, which they didn't have online before. Now it's so you can get it 24 hours a day. But they realized the difference in the reporting. And there is a media person named Rebecca McKinnon.
Uh-huh.
She's with the Berkman Center for Law and for the Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School.
Mm-hmm.
And her website is ourconversation.com.
Uh-huh.
And she was the Time Warner bureau chief for Asia for many years. For 10 years she worked for CNN.
Uh-huh.
And when they wanted to get so... Her father was a history professor of Chinese history. She grew up part of her years in Asia, spoke Chinese, and they told her, well, we want you to report with more of a tourist angle. And this is Time Warner. She went on a sabbatical to Harvard and never went back to CNN. And those kinds of organizations, her organization, it's not hers, but she's a member of it, and that organization is the Berkman Center. There's another website they related to them called Global Voices, but her personal website is ourconversation.com. But is how to use other media, in this case very much blogging and the internet, and that's what they're doing, and it's helping around the planet.
Sure.
This type of communication.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chinese are trying to block it. Anyhow, there's lots of information on that.
Yeah, right.
How to get appropriate information instead of the Time Warner, News Corp stuff.
What do you do? You seemed like you paid a lot of attention to the media. What do you do as a profession?
I'm not in the media. I do marketing.
It's
nothing to do with...
Okay.
I'm just self-employed and I can work when I want.
Uh-huh.
I came back here for 3 days. Was going to stay for 3 days. Look at the house.
Uh-huh.
That was March. Where's my dates here?
October
29th, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And I saw John Cleary up in Springfield. He's a neighbor of mine.
Uh-huh.
He plays with the Bonnie Raitt Band.
Oh, wow, we just saw her. Awesome.
And you saw John Cleary. I worked with Bonnie for many years at No Nukes in New York and all kinds of benefits. Anyhow, I was talking to John, and he was going to be playing in our local spot, which I highly recommend, the Maple Leaf.
Uh-huh.
It's the premier venue, and is open
in
Gripstead tonight. I got back to see, that was my deadline, because I wanted what's going on, what's happening at home.
Yeah.
And I was going to stay a few days and go back to Branson, which is in the high tourist season, and I can make plenty of money there, relative to my needs, anyhow. And I have not gone back yet.
Oh, wow.
As far as... Their tourist season ends December 18th or something until next June, so if I don't make it back soon...
What kind of stuff would you do out there in Branson?
I do marketing for companies like timeshare companies. Fairfield, Ascendant Corp.
I see.
To small mom and pops.
Uh-huh.
And basically, those businesses in areas like Orlando, Branson, where there's lots of vacationer type tourists.
Yeah.
As opposed to New Orleans, which has a variety of business travelers, conventioneers.
Yeah.
More alternative tourists. It's not the type that is interested in timeshare type.
I see.
You know, condos and that kind of.
I just when I do an interview, I always like to get a context of what people do and what their interests are.
Well, now with all